This morning our scripture reading is from Nehemiah chapter 8, and we'll read the entire chapter. Nehemiah chapter 8. We often think of Nehemiah as coming earlier in the chronology of the Old Testament than we should, just because of where his book is placed. But it's helpful to understand that even though this comes before much of the history and all the prophets, Nehemiah is one of the last authors, we might say, that lived in the New Old Testament time. So in our minds, we have to place this similar to Malachi. And that's helpful as we understand also what Nehemiah is anticipating. Nehemiah chapter 8. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema, and Ananiah and Urijah, and Hilkiah and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand, Pedaiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashem and Hashbadana, Zechariah and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akib, Shabbatai, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount, and fetch olive branches, and pine branches, and myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees, to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun, unto that day, had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly, according unto the manner. This ends our scripture reading. Our text for this special Thanksgiving service this day is Nehemiah 8, verse 10, where we read, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." We'll consider this under the theme, Thanksgiving Joy Experienced. You can imagine a day of Thanksgiving. The people gathered with family, with their children, with their friends. There's excitement, there's joy, there's anticipation, there's interest. And yes, the people look around them and they see their country, their city is not the way it used to be. They also realize, though, the many blessings they've received. Blessings of security. Blessings of being able to gather in public. Blessings of food and drink. Blessings of a place to live. But it's not Grand Rapids. It's Jerusalem. It's approximately 425 B.C. It's the first day of the seventh month. You notice that in verse 2, Ezra and Nehemiah gathered with the people, and it was the first day of the seventh month, and we might just keep reading that, but we need to understand that's an important day in the calendar of the Jews of the time. It was the Feast of Trumpets. And on this day, the people were to gather. And the Old Testament says they were not to do any work. It was a day for the blowing of trumpets and offering burnt offerings. This day marked the beginning of a new civil year. It was a national holiday. The new agricultural year was about to begin. All the crops were now in. And in Nehemiah 8, the people are back in Jerusalem after years of exile. The wall of Jerusalem's just been rebuilt. They're anticipating this holiday, holy day. They're anticipating festival meals with family and friends and neighbors. And yet before that point, they gather together on the street to hear the book of the law. And from morning until noon, all their ears are attentive. And the priests and the leaders and the elders read the law and give the sense. They taught the people what it meant, how it should be understood. You noticed the people were enthusiastic. They were interested. They were responsive. And then something remarkable happened. On this feast day, anticipating their delicacies, we could say they were convicted. And all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. You might wonder why some say it's just traditional cultural response. But I think there's much more than that here. Because as they read the law, they weren't just reading the Ten Commandments as we understand them. They were reading all of Genesis through Deuteronomy, and they had hours to read this. And as they read for those hours that morning, they would have learned or relearned many things. They would have learned that even God created all things good. Sin had so entered the world and it was pervasive. Even though Adam could have eaten from every tree in the garden, he took of the fruit of the one tree because he wanted to be like God. They would have read of how the nation of Israel, in spite of all the blessings that they had received, in spite of receiving manna and quail every day, day after day, they spoke against God and said, "Can God furnish a table in this wilderness?" And they began to lust after Egypt. Oh, the fish, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic that we used to have. The people of God had fallen to the basic sin of unthankfulness. Even though they knew God, they did not glorify God. They did not glorify Him as God. Neither were they thankful. They became vain in their imaginations. The people of Jerusalem heard that day. And their own sin, their own unthankfulness became real. And they wept. But reading through Genesis or Deuteronomy, they would have also learned how God rescued Israel, promised them blessings upon obedience. It was following God's instruction that they had that initial Passover, that they were redeemed from Egypt after faithfully obeying. And through the law, the people listening to Ezra and Nehemiah and the others would have learned that God promised great blessings upon obedience. He promised them a great land, a good land, a land of brooks of water, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. And yet as the people were standing there in Jerusalem that day, they could think back and realize that promise came true. Because in the days of Solomon, Judah and Israel were many. They were as many as the sand of the sea. And they were all eating and drinking and making merry, and they were all dwelling safely. And every man had his vine and was under his own fig tree. Do you imagine hearing that description and seeing how God's promise had come true and realizing He had given them all these things He had promised them? And now you're standing in Jerusalem that day. And what you've heard of recent memory is sin and scarcity and sorrow. And instead of these blessings, you know your nation's experienced destruction. It's Joel's description. A nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number. He has laid my vine waste and he's barked my fig tree. He made it clean, bare. Cast it away. Seems like there's nothing left. The question, why had that happened? Well, the people listening to Deuteronomy that day, they would have heard why that destruction happened as well. Because God had said, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly homes and dwelt therein, and everything that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God." Beware. Because if thou forget the Lord thy God, I testify against you this day that ye shall perish. And the people knew what happened. They had forgotten God. They had been punished just like the other nations. They had been sent into exile. They had had to live in a foreign land under foreign trees beside foreign rivers, weeping. Because they had begun to worship their houses and their flocks and their silver. and they had forgotten God. And God had followed through on His warning as well. And the people wept. But in listening to the law, they would have also learned how God desired a proper understanding of feast days. Because the feast days, yes, they were part of a ritual calendar, and we all know that every year we get another calendar and you just see those days pop up on the calendar and you live through them. It was the same here. They had their calendar. They had their days off, we might say. But they had forgotten why they were there. The feast days were not just to be national holidays. They were to be days of remembrance. Days of remembrance that they would remember the land that God had given them. Days of remembrance so that they would remember, yes, God's redemption, so that generations would know that God had brought them out of the land of Egypt. It was God who brought them out. It was God who brought them into the promised land. It was God who had given them everything they had. That was the purpose of those feast days. One of the purposes. They were to remember the redemptive nature. But they were also to look ahead and to see the Messiah that the feast days pointed to, who would bring ultimate redemption, ultimate deliverance, ultimate blessing. Again, they needed to listen to the prophet Joel. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. And here they were, the festival, the feast day of trumpets, the beginning of another whole cycle of feast days. They realized they needed to remember it for the right reason. And the people wept, turning to the Lord with their heart and a desire for fasting and mourning, turning to the Lord because He is gracious and merciful, of great kindness. But also turning to the Lord because as they read Leviticus and as they read Numbers and as they read Deuteronomy, what comes after the Feast of Trumpets? 10 days later, the Day of Atonement. A day when the sins of the whole nation, as it were, lay before God through blood, asked for forgiveness. The scapegoat is sent into the wilderness. Forgiveness is possible. Our Thanksgiving response today needs to begin with thankfulness for forgiveness. Thankfulness that repentance is still possible. Thankfulness that in spite of our sin, in spite of our living wrongly, looking at the holidays wrongly, God still comes and He says, Christ has suffered outside the gate to sanctify you. Our pursuit of food has so often defined us that we lack gratitude. Our blessings have kept us so busy this past year that we often forget to express our gratitude. We forget God. Thanksgiving Day has become a national day rather than a spiritual day. We need to be careful. But does that mean that we can't celebrate and enjoy this day? Not at all. We can certainly rejoice because national feast days are not just proclamations of partnership and generosity. We're to remember and celebrate and rejoice in the Lord our God. And so Ezra and Nehemiah say to the people, this day is holy unto our Lord. It's holy for three reasons. The feast day is a day of divine origin because it's God who told the people, remember this day. It was God's idea that they would stop all their work, that they would have this time together, that they would come together. It was God who gave them opportunity to celebrate this day. It was God who gave them reason to celebrate this day. He still sends His mercy. He still sends corn and wine and oil. He still brings His people back together. He keeps them from being a reproach forever. He will do great things. And He's given them this day. Second, the feast day is a holy day because it was to be a day of rejoicing in God. A day of rejoicing in what God rejoices in. They were to rejoice in His mercy, His redemption. Yes, the promise of His Son. For even though God had punished the people, the feast days were still to be kept in faith. Isaiah says, the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And this then is what the feast days actually point to. This is the generosity, the liberality that actually should make a difference in our hearts. The reason, yes, we as Christians can rejoice today. Because Christ has come now and said, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. The water that I give to him shall be a well of water springing up, yes, into everlasting life. The people were to look forward to that. We can look back, but we're still to rejoice in God. And then third, the feast days evidence fellowship. Fellowship primarily with God, because they weren't just days so that the people could rejoice among themselves. They were to rejoice among themselves. Deuteronomy 14, thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thy household. Yes, they were to come together with their families. Yes, they were to rejoice. Yes, they were to eat. But they were to do so with the recognition that they were doing so before God, in front of God, as it were. And this can be done in good conscience. Eat and rejoice before the Lord. And that's why, even as the people are convicted and weeping when they hear the words of the law, the leaders, the prophets, the priests come and say, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not. If you're to live in mourning continually, you are not fit to find delight in anything. Christians that mourn always are not fit for prayer, not fit for believing, not fit for battling and overcoming sin, not fit for living virtuously, not helpful to other people. On the contrary, then, Christians need to be thankful because, yes, the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you know that joy this morning, the joy of the Lord, that joy is also of divine origin. When God's adopted you into His family, you ought to have joy. And then, as Paul says to the Romans, the God of hope can fill you with joy. It's God who can make you hear gladness. He can make you hear joy. And then, yes, your joy will be rejoicing in God Himself. Joyful in God because He's clothed you with robes of righteousness. Joyful in God because He's forgiven you. He's healed you. He's brought you into a wealthy place. And then your joy evidences your fellowship with the Lord. Yes, your eyes might shed tears, but the Lord is your salvation, your strength, and the health of your soul. And you learn then to stand fast in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord always. It's Brockle who writes, man was created to rejoice. To be joyful is his life and his health. And so this Thanksgiving day, seek joy. Rejoice. Not just as an ornament, not just as a facial expression. No, seek joy as a heart direction, a disposition, a pleasure, a delight, a rejoicing of your internal being, your deepest being. Seek that you would be able to rejoice in the Lord your God. A joy that is because you know your heart is set at liberty. The joy because you know the Lord. But that doesn't only mean joy is spiritual and it's hidden. The psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And spiritual joy can be demonstrated through food and meals. Consider how the gospel truth of the Savior takes place at table. In homes. In Luke 5, Jesus is at a great feast with Levi and a great company of publicans. In Luke 6, Christ defends his disciples for eating corn. Luke 7, Jesus is anointed by a sinful woman at a meal in a Pharisee's home. Luke 8, he heals a little girl and he says, give her something to eat. Luke 9, he feeds 5,000. Luke 10, he's eating in the home of Martha and Mary. Luke 11, he's eating in another Pharisee's home. Luke 14, he's inviting the maimed, the poor, the lame, the blind to a supper. Luke 19, it's rich Zacchaeus. Luke 22, he leads the disciples to the Last Supper. He says, with desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you. And Christ brings then his gospel truth into homes, over meals. We cannot separate entirely the physical and the spiritual here. Our blessings ought to remind us of spiritual blessings. And key to finding this joy is faith. It was key to each of these stories, histories in Luke. But faith then is key today as well to open the gift of joy. Because then when you will use faith to open the gift of joy and it's opened before you, it becomes your strength and it becomes what sustains your life and it becomes your zeal and it causes you to seek joy even more, causes you to share joy, causes you to desire joy for others. That's what the people were encouraged to. Go your way. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Children, you know a fireplace is useless if there's no logs in it. A fireplace with logs in it that are not on fire may be nicer to look at, but it's still not serving its purpose. It's only a fireplace that has logs in it, where those logs are burning, giving off heat. It's only that fireplace that is serving its purpose. And so Christians need to be joyful in the Lord. It's not a facade of joy. It's not just to look nice. No, you need the joy of the Lord in you. That joy has to be active, has to be burning, as it were, inside of you, so that the effects of that joy can be felt, noticed, and yes, shared with others. And it brings warmth and blessing to them. And so today we don't focus on Thanksgiving Day experienced. No, it's Thanksgiving joy experienced. And then in spite of our tears, or in spite of our conviction, in spite of our struggle with sin, we can still rejoice today. Because the Lord has brought blessing. Thanksgiving joy experienced leads to Thanksgiving joy lived out. And while we know Thanksgiving Day is a day set apart for expression of that, in a sense, every day is to be a day of Thanksgiving joy. And so even as Nehemiah said to the people, go your way, this day is holy unto the Lord. It didn't just end this day because verse 13, on the second day they were gathered. You continue reading through the rest of Nehemiah and you'll see the people obeyed. Not just this first festival of the trumpets, but they obeyed the rest of the feast days as well. We need to take our Thanksgiving Day and use it then with obedient, joyful hearts, the way it was intended. Because children, if you receive a special gift from grandma, say a big radio-controlled truck, and grandma gives this gift to you and she says, I want you to use it properly outside on the driveway. Don't use it in the sandbox. Don't use it in the garden. Don't use it in the house. If you were really thankful for grandma's gift, you would follow grandma's instructions. If you went into the sandbox one day with this toy, either you forgot about grandma, or you would be ignoring her on purpose. And this is what we do so often with God. We say we realize the gifts He's given us, but we ignore, as it were, His instructions that come with these gifts. And if we were so truly thankful, wouldn't we desire to follow His instructions? You take this in the sense of physical gifts we've received this year. We're thankful for them. But are we following His instructions for life? Children, you say you're thankful today for your parents. That's wonderful. But then obey them in the Lord, for this is right. Young people, were thankful for the ability to learn, to work. And that's good, and it's right. But then whatsoever you do, do it as to the Lord. And yes, even as a church, we're thankful for spiritual gifts. We're thankful that God has placed us in covenant families. We're thankful that the Lord is the one who's led us and kept us over the past year. We're thankful that He's a Heavenly Father who provides all things necessary for soul and body. We're thankful, yes, even that sometimes we can see sin and be convicted by it and have a desire to fight against it. We're thankful that the Lord is the one who redeems, that He's the one who shepherds us and He guides us along life's path to the promised land. You're thankful that you can come here, that you can go home, that you can open your Bibles, that you can study it, that you can still pray. And we ought to be. But are we then following His instructions also for spiritual life? Are we hearkening diligently unto Him? Are we eating that which is good? Are we delighting ourselves, our soul, in fatness? Are we inclining our ear? Are we coming unto Him? Are we hearing Him? Are we believing that He has made an everlasting covenant with us? When we know that thankful joy, we would be so thankful. When we realize the gifts that He's given us, we would be so thankful. And yet we know we so often forget. But if we were really thankful, even when we would forget to follow His instructions, we would still go back to Him. Children, imagine that toy truck broke because one day you didn't listen to grandma. And it went tumbling down the stairs at the bottom it broke into pieces and you couldn't play with it anymore. And suddenly you knew, you realized it broke because I was disobedient to Grandma's instructions. You would want to go and apologize to Grandma. You'd promise you'd never do it again. We need to ask God for forgiveness every time we forget Him. Every time we break His commands. Not because it just brings us down purely to mourning only or weeping only. No, because as we come to Him and we seek His forgiveness, we're more thankful for His mercy. Because we see how often we need His mercy, His forgiveness. We're more thankful for His patience. We're more thankful for His redeeming love. We're more thankful for His Spirit. We're more thankful for His joy and peace. Because that's what keeps Satan away from destroying us. That's what keeps us away from despondency. And so then we're rejoicing in the Lord our God. And the joy of the Lord becomes our strength because He brought us out of Egypt. He's brought us into safety in the wilderness. He's bringing us to the promised land. He's giving us temporary housing on the way there. And we can be so thankful that with Israel we say, up to this point, the Lord has helped me. And I rejoice in that. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. He will be my strength. He will be my refuge. He will be my ever-present help. He will be my guide. He will be my shelter in the time of storm. This is what the people realized that day. You read through Genesis and Deuteronomy. You see God's hand in deliverance. You see God's hand of blessing. You hear His warnings. But you also hear He's still willing, ready to save. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink because they understood the words that were declared to them. They could go eat and drink because they understood all the words that were declared to them. Even later, Nehemiah 12, they were still so thankful that they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard from far away. That's how joyful they were. And so today, we need to go from here this morning, joyful, thankful. Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, share. Not because you have so much, but because of what God's given you. Every gift you have is what God has given. And it should not just point us, yes, to the gifts we have in front of us later. But no, it should point us to the greater spiritual gifts that He's promised and He's blessing. The people went, and they ate and they drank, and they sent portions. This eating and sharing is what cultures turned into thanksgiving. And eating and sharing is a good thing. But we as Christians need to do it for the right reasons. It's because the people understood all the words that were declared unto them that they could go out and rejoice. It was not just their understanding of the festival of trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets, but it was their understanding of what the feast pointed to, what Scripture revealed, what it still points to. You know, even if there are empty places at your table today, even if you eat with a degree of sorrow and hurt, maybe loneliness, the joy of the covenant faithful Lord is still your strength as well. Ye now therefore have sorrow, But I will see you, Jesus says to his disciples, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Our Thanksgiving Day must not just be a celebration of agricultural blessing, material blessings. Though we should be thankful. But it should point us to the greater joy. We rejoice in a greater joy. We rejoice in a joy that even other people with material blessings don't understand. Understanding our guilt, understanding God's grace, understanding what it means to live with gratitude points us to a greater reality than any material thing here on earth can point us. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, that's to share. Forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Hebrews 13. Shall not we, whose hearts are swelling with the thought of former days, sing a joyous song foretelling future gladness, fuller praise? For the cloud the bow retaineth with its covenant of peace, that as long as earth remaineth, harvest time shall never cease. And so today it's not just the promises we've received and known that give us Thanksgiving joy, but it's the full picture, the future gladness, the fuller praise. A full picture of full promises by a fully faithful God. And those promises are still coming. One of the Thanksgiving hymns is "Now Thank We All Our God." But it wasn't written as a hymn for the day of Thanksgiving. It was written by a pastor because his city endured another battle in a war. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. We thank God today because he is faithful. The reasons your meal today can be a feast is not because of family tradition or cultural tradition or even in the spirit of pilgrim Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving today should be because God is a covenant God who is faithful throughout time to all eternity. And then our Thanksgiving feast should lead believers today to anticipate a greater feast. A day when mountains will drop down new wine and hills will flow with milk and all the rivers shall flow with waters and a fountain will come from the house of the Lord and Judah shall dwell forever. It's Joel 3. And when we know that true Thanksgiving joy, it will cause us to look forward to that day, the presence of God, when every believer will enter into the joy of the Lord. Because even now, he's preparing a table for you. And then every believer will experience what John heard. The voice of a great multitude. And the voice of many waters. That's the voice of many thunderings, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." And he said unto me, "Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." And that will be a day of true thanksgiving. a day of real rejoicing. And the question today is, will you experience that? Or will today's meal, today's joy, be the greatest joy you'll ever experience? Or will today's meal, today's joy, be just a taste of the best? A hint of the most joyful day, when the joy of the Lord will be your strength forever and ever. Because you know all the words of the law. And he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Lord, we thank Thee again for every single blessing that Thou hast given us. Open our eyes to see them all. But Lord, help us to see that the greatest blessing we have is the knowledge. We trust and pray the experience that Thou art a covenant, faithful God, remaining true to Thy promises and Thy warnings to all generations, fulfilling Thy promises. Yes, fulfilling the promise of Christ, but also fulfilling or about to fulfill the promise of a greater day when the table will be completely full and all those who have been called will be around that table, that marriage supper of the Lamb, rejoicing with thanksgiving joy, not in themselves, not in what they've had through their time on earth, but rejoicing in who Thou art, what Thou hast revealed, what Thou hast given. And Lord, may all of our glory, all of our praise, all of our thankfulness then come to Thee today. May we realize that it's truly from Thee that all blessings flow. Please bless us and our families and friends through the rest of this day. Keep us from sin. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.